Okay, well, Advent, you all know that. And the enthusiasm that was shown earlier is a bit disappointing, really, because, you know, this is the most amazing story. And the challenge is we kind of know it, you know, especially if you've been in church for a long time. I don't just mean today, but, you know, it comes around every year and we do kind of the same stuff all the time. But it is an amazing story, even though it's so familiar. And another bit that's familiar, especially for us now, is the title for today's talk, okay? Everlasting Father. It's really, really familiar because you've been reminded of those four names for the last, I don't know how many weeks, and you probably knew them before. But they're a bit odd. You know, I mean, we talked about that last week, I mean, the Deborah's one, you know, mighty God, a little scrawny baby, you know, how's that? And this one, Everlasting Father. So this is talking about a baby who's going to be born, but he's called an Everlasting Father. So hang on, it's a baby. It wasn't there, you know, a year before. So what's everlasting about that? And it's a baby. How is it an Everlasting Father? It's kind of odd. But it is absolutely stuffed with meaning. And, you know, it's been very good for me to be forced to slow down and think about this over the last couple of weeks while I've been preparing. You'll be glad that I'm not going to talk for a couple of weeks. But, you know, I would encourage you to think about what is in this, those little phrases, which, you know, are the names of Jesus. But Everlasting Father is complicated because it comes with a load of baggage for all of us. Because what do we think about Father? You know, we immediately think of our own fathers, and some of us are fathers. So we think about our relationship with our kids. So that is a whole load of clutter, because that's complicated. You know, you might be thinking about loss, because perhaps your father was, you know, was wonderful and he's no longer with us. So when you hear the phrase Everlasting Father, you're immediately thinking about, oh, my dad's gone. So how do we get over that? We might also be thinking that there's pain and regret because our father was, well, fill in the dots. What didn't he do? Or what did he do? So that's a load of clutter as well. Or maybe, you know, we're just unmoved because our father was, well, didn't contribute much to my life. So how do we deal with that? Because is God like that? Well, no, he's not. But then this is a bit confusing because Isaiah is talking about this son, this child, being a father. So is he confused? Is he muddling up Jesus the Son, the second person of the Trinity, with God the Father, the first person of the Trinity? Well, no. The Messiah's role is distinct and separate from the Father's role. They're different persons of the Trinity. So that's not what Isaiah is talking about. But he is talking about the character, the characteristics that this child that's to be born will have. He will have fatherly or father-like characteristics. Okay, so it is likely to get a bit muddled in our heads because, well, the Son here is described as the Everlasting Father. So just remember that it's his characteristics and he's not the same as God the Father, but they're very closely related, clearly. And in fact, Jesus says he and his Father are one. That's the red line underneath. Okay, you don't need to read all of it. And he also says that anyone who has seen him has seen the Father. So Jesus portrays the Father. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, and they're one God, but different persons. Okay, so the characteristics, the fatherly characteristics that Isaiah is alluding to, talking about, are to be seen in Jesus. And in the Gospels, we see Jesus acting in a very, very fatherly way many, many, many times. So here's a couple in graphic form, and some of you will recognize these pictures. So these are from the Good News Bible, and I didn't know this, but the artist was a Swiss lady, and she's probably the most published artist in the world, because the Good News Bible's got like 500 pictures, and there are millions and millions, hundreds of millions of Good News Bibles all over the place. Anyway, so here's Jesus being fatherly towards little children. Okay, several accounts of that in the Gospels, where Jesus pays attention to the kids. Well, okay, you might think, well, that's just a little bit sentimental, isn't it? You know, Jesus blessing the little children, it's all very cute and Disney. Well, actually, no, because remember, Jesus was a superstar in his day. He had thousands of people following him around the countryside. Think about feeding the 5,000. And when the disciples went across to the Lake Galilee in the boat, and Jesus wasn't there, and then walks on the water, and they get to the other side, the crowd are puzzled because how did he get there? So they're following him. Hundreds, thousands of people were clamoring to see Jesus. So why would he spend time with little, I was going to say bratty kids, I'm sure they were really cute. You know, but kids in those days were, you know, not that critical. And the disciples were shooing them away. But Jesus says, no, I need to speak to the kids. So even in the midst of superstardom and grief with the Pharisees and all the rest of it, Jesus had time for the kids. So that's a fatherly characteristic. But there are many others. And critically, if we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. So Colossians, for in Christ, so in Jesus, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. So the fatherly characteristics that Isaiah was referring to, that Father God has, God the Father has, are seen in Jesus. And everything that you've ever dreamed a father could be, everything you've ever wanted from your relationship with your earthly father, Jesus is and will be. And quite a lot of the songs we've sung point to this. So, Catherine, good choices. So one of them, we know, he's saying, he knows my name. So, hang on, God knows your name. Okay, you're not a mere speck of dirt, you know, one of however many billion people there are on earth. God knows your name. Your father knows your name. Okay? We sang a line, he's a defender of the weak. That is what fathers do. Okay, little children are weak, you know, in many, many ways. The fathers, a good father, will defend their child, no matter what. Okay, so God is a defender of the weak, and that is you. Okay, so Jesus is that, and will be that forever. Now, this is possibly a familiar image to some of you. So it's a Charlie Mackesy portrait. The prodigal son. Okay, so this is a really, really powerful story of what fatherhood looks like. And what is written behind it in rather scratchy handwriting is this. I'll read it to you. This is the story of the prodigal son. It should really be called the running father. The running father who... Waited, yeah, thank you. Who waited every day for his boy to return, the boy who had rejected him so badly. And finally, when he sees the son from a long way off, his father ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. Okay? You know, so that this is an incredibly powerful story. So the son is a complete waster and a brat, arrogant little so-and-so. And yet he repents and comes home. And the father has been longing for him to return. Longing, waiting every day. So that is the father heart of God, as seen in Jesus, waiting for us to return. And then, you know, stuff the embarrassment, run to the kid and embrace him and rejoice and have a party because the waster has come home. That's the father heart, and that's in Jesus. Okay, so this story here has got two children and a father, and the name of Jesus is Everlasting Father. But if there's a father, who are the children? So if Jesus is the Everlasting Father, okay, so father must have children by definition. Who are the children? Yeah, we are. You are. Okay? And think about who Jesus paid attention to when he was on earth physically. Who did he lift up? The poor, the outcast, the lepers. Okay, now, those are historical things, and we may not identify so much with that. But outcasts and lepers, you know, the lepers were, I mean, they weren't just the lowest, they were excluded from society because of their leprosy, because of their uncleanness. And society, our society, has people like that. We have the poor, we have the outcast, we have the rejected and the scorned. Those are the children. And in some ways, we might identify with some of those categories. But God is, Jesus is the Father who cares for children like that. He also, kind of counterintuitively, has tender fatherly care for the older brother in the prodigal son story. So the older brother would be identified with the religious, the rich, the powerful, the good, the one who's behaved well. I mean, he's not perfect by a long means, you know, a long way. But even in that story, the father cares for the older brother. So he cares, you know, the father there cares for the waster, bratty little brother, and he cares for the arrogant, proud older brother. And I hate to tell you that somewhere between the arrogant, bratty one, sorry, the waster, bratty one and the arrogant, older one, that's all of us somewhere. Okay? And the father cares for them. Okay. Everlasting Father. Okay, it's in red because it's really, really important, and we've sung about it. All of time is in his hands. You know? So he knows us from eternity past, before you were born, and before that. And he will never, 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 never leave, fail, or change. And that changes the way we should live. Because if God is our Father and he cares for the weak, he's defender of the weak, and he is everlasting, then that means tomorrow he will still care for you. And the day after, and the day after, and the day after. So we all want, even though we don't necessarily recognize that all the time, we all want and need a father. You know, it's one of the most important relationships we have in our kind of physical state. And sometimes those get screwed up, sometimes they're great. But we all want a good, good father. We all need that. And no matter how good our earthly relationships, they are still deficient in some way. God is the perfect Father, and we see that in Jesus. And we can only come to God the Father because of Jesus. So Jesus is the perfect Father-like Saviour. So those two little words, which are one of Jesus' four names given in that familiar verse, you know, pretty astounding. You know, it's almost the gospel in two words. It's everlasting, and Jesus brings us to God the Father and has fatherly-like characteristics. So where are we today? How do you feel about your Heavenly Father? Do you run to his arms? Or when life gets a bit naff, which it does sometimes, do we run from him, thinking, or maybe not consciously thinking, but not thinking that he's going to care? Well, remember that the father in the prodigal son story was waiting every day for the wayward son to return, and was delighted when he did. So run to your father, which at Christmas means recognize who Jesus is, and bow in wonder, and be excited, it's Christmas.